Good morning. This is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie, and we actually do wake up that way.
Yeah, maybe. I just hope that poor guy got intervention.
Yeah, really.
Well, we got a couple of text messages here.
Do you believe that stuff?
First off, from a guy all the way down in Melbourne. Yeah, I'm so jealous. I've always wanted to go to Australia.
That's my buddy Alan. He's been listening to us religiously. He was on listening last night.
So he listens while he's in church?
Yeah, he was listening to An Evening with Fast Eddie. He was one of at least three people I know that were listening
to
last night.
Well, it was daytime there.
Yeah, it was.
And another one that says, you're enjoying listening to all of you and watching the webcams. Hey, great, thanks. Keep listening. We need you.
Yeah, really.
And the last one is, there's a sound problem. We're checking into that. Cannot confirm nor deny the existence of this sound problem.
We're working on it. It's a technical issue, and we don't know anything about technical issues.
We don't know much about anything.
Although people have said we are a technical issue.
Yeah, really. And we are joined on by telephone. There's technology. By Mr. Pete McLeod. Is that pronounced? Did I pronounce that right, Pete?
You got it right. How are you guys?
Good. How are you?
Pretty good.
Now, you're a Red Bull racing pilot, which means that, you know, flying aerobatics and unlimited. That wasn't enough. You decided to do it, like, over a lake.
Yeah, you know, most of the races are over water. We do them over land as well. But, I still stay busy doing the aerobatics. So basically, if I get to have fun and go fly hard and max power in the airplane, then I'm smiling.
There you go. Talk to us about, I understand the Red Bull races are by invitation only, aren't they?
It's something that there's a pretty strict qualification process for. And obviously, there's only so many spots in any given championship during the year that they can fill with pilots. So it's not something where anyone can just go buy an airplane and show up. But for me, it was I took the competition aerobatics road to get there and set my sights on that early. And lucky enough to be the youngest guy to ever race in it. And I'm Canadian. I was the first and only Canadian also to run in the championship.
Very cool. Now the race itself is not like an air race. It's kind of a combination of speed racing and aerobatics. Is that correct?
It's very much racing. It's a timed event, so you're racing against the clock, and there's no judged aerobatic maneuvers, but it's not a point A to point B race cross country, and it's not kind of an open track oval racing like you see, for example, in Reno or something like that. So it's a closed course, and if you compare it to auto racing, it would be similar to, say, Formula One, where you've got a course that's fairly dynamic, a lot of different turns, both left and right, and quite a tight course. So we're running basically modified aerobatic planes, and that being said, they're not overly fast, so we're not doing 400 or 500 miles an hour, but when we're doing 200-250 miles an hour, we're turning extremely sharp. So it's a combination for the aircraft, and what works is a combination of power to weight and speed, of course, but then more importantly is the maneuverability at that speed.
One of the things about the maneuverability, you're pulling a lot of G-forces out there. How many G's are you pulling during an average Red Bull race?
Most corners you're pulling between 8 and 11. So, sometimes you're a little lower for a little bit. But now, what's different with that, obviously, that's higher G than most fighters or advanced fighters are pulling, but what's different about it is that we're not sustaining 12 G for, a 30-second turn. It's coming on and off. The onset's very fast, and it comes off quite quickly as well. The aircraft don't have the performance to hang on at 10 G in a turn sustained. But so you scrub a bit of energy in that. But that's generally the G range that you see, and because we're very interested in getting that airplane pointed at the next gate as quickly as possible. So rather than kind of milk that turnout over the complete distance between two gates, you pretty much come through one pylon set and as quickly as possible get that nose track to the next gate and get on your racing line and start heading that the shortest distance and results in the quickest time.
Well, from what I've seen on the on television and including in cockpit video footage, it appears to be very strenuous form of racing. How do you prepare yourself for a day's racing?
Yeah, it is physically demanding and there's a lot going on. Things are happening fast, and because you are so close to the ground, there's very little margin for error there. So the physical side's important to be up to speed with. The biggest thing, I get asked that a lot, and the biggest thing is actually for G tolerance and those things is simply just to fly and pull G. I'm a young guy, stay in pretty good shape. I spend a lot of time in the gym, especially in the off season, and but that's just for general fitness and maybe to keep muscle speed up and reaction time and things like that. But as far as G tolerance, well hydrated, good sleep, and then regular flights where you're out pulling G's. So, you know, if we've shipped the airplane to a race and haven't been in it for a week or something like that, and I get there, the first few flights I'm doing are, I'm pretty much just going out there and doing a session of pulling G and getting that tolerance back up. And it's no different than when I'm flying air shows, aerobatics, or, you know, a lot of the guys you'll have there at Oshkosh this week, that they're flying regular to keep that G tolerance up. And if they've been out of the plane for a while, it's something you've got to pay attention to. And, you know, of course, be well rested and get that tolerance back up by just going out there and practicing.
Now, it seems to me that it would be a bit unusual, too, in that you are performing your race like nowhere near the airport. I mean, the airport could be, what, 10 miles away?
Yeah, at times. Sometimes there's an airport right underneath you. Sometimes it's very close by. But, yeah, you know, so it's the track is at times a remote location from the airport. But, you know, we don't have the ground involved in our racetrack. And, you know, it's something from we're racing single-engine airplanes, but from a safety standpoint, that's why there's a lot of regulations on the technical side of what we can use for a motor. And so there's a lot of regulations on that as far as we can't run turbocharged motors or we can't be injecting nitrous into them, and the compression ratios are limited and things like that to basically give us a, you know, of course a high performance motor, but a reliable one. And that's part of that is not being over a runway at all times.
Now, one of the things I've noticed is the pylons that are on the course. How are they constructed?
They're basically made of like a light spinnaker type woven nylon material, a lot like a sail would be, but it's not simply like someone went to the fabric store and sewed up some pylons. They've gone through many, many generations of development and testing, and the design of them is quite specific to their use. So they are designed to be hit and not damage the airplane, and so we get a time penalty if we hit pylons. And so that's kind of it's kind of a neat thing. Obviously, the spectators get pretty excited when you get hits, and usually from the piloting side, we're not too pleased about it, as it hurts the results quite a bit. But they're air filled, so they've got I believe it's about 1,200 millibars of air pressure inside, and that's what kind of keeps them to the proper tension and inflated, and they're good to about 25 knots of wind. And so there's no guy wires or anything like that or supporting structure. It's just a kind of a specially designed exoskeleton, so to speak, filled with air that when a wing or an airplane hits it, it basically tears away. And, you know, it's not very often that anything even gets caught on the airplane, like a spade or something like that. So it's quite amazing what they've developed for that.
Well, that sure is good to hear. So where will you be racing next?
Well, the race itself, they're restructuring the championship right now. So right now they're working on a 2014 schedule, and that's not announced yet. So your guess is as good as mine where I'll be. But this summer I'm right in the middle of my air show season, and I'm actually talking to you guys from Alberta. I just finished up a couple shows here and headed out to the West Coast for Vancouver this weekend. So staying busy, and I'll get off the phone with you guys, and you were speaking of technology, I'll open up my iPad and do some flight planning.
Well, there you go.
Sounds great.
Well, we want to thank you for joining us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys.
Very good.
Pete, you be careful up there, buddy.
Yep.
You too.
Keep whichever side you want up.
Yeah, that's always a toss-up.
Yeah, there you go. All right, thank you.
See ya.
This is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie.
And you're listening to EAA Radio.